My name is John, and I'm a sinner. And if you're watching, you will be able to see these are my ashes. This is the beginning of the season of Lent, of drawing near to God in repentance and getting ready for Holy Week and the crucifixion on Good Friday and the resurrection. And these ashes that mark my forehead are my sins and my guilt and my failures and my disappointments, and ash is an image all through the Bible of human brokenness and the power of death and just the waste that is left over after the destruction that becomes a part of our life. What do I do with my ashes? Because it can be tempting for me to pretend like they're not there or deny them or to try to ignore them or maybe to live in self-pity and a spirit of martyrdom in them. And then we have this God who says, "You bring me your ashes." And we're really kind of learning that through the 12 steps. Nance and I were with a couple, Claudia and Jerry Root, not long ago, and Jerry was talking about how you might actually think of the characters in the Bible as a giant recovery group. And if you did, their introduction, like their very robust step ones, would be extremely powerful. My name is Moses. I'm a murderer. My name is David. I'm a murderer and an adulterer. My name is Abraham. I lied and said that my wife was my sister twice, threw her under the bus just to keep my own safety. My name is Noah. I got drunk. My name is Solomon. I had 1,000 wives and concubines. My name is Samson. I was like a walking impulse control disorder. My name is Rahab. I was a prostitute. My name is Jephthah. I sacrificed my own daughter. My name is Paul. I killed Christians. And even after I became one, could be kind of a cranky guy to work with sometimes. I'm a thief on the cross my whole life long. I had about 5 good minutes. That's all. My name is Miriam. I was the sister of Moses, consumed with envy, and I was a racist because he married an Ethiopian woman. I didn't like that. My name's Aaron. I was Moses' brother, racist also, and I was in the idol manufacturing business. My name is Peter. I denied him. Hey, we're Adam and Eve. We started this whole thing. They all have... amazing, these characters in the Bible, these ashes of a wrecked life, of horrible decisions and broken dreams. And God says, "Now bring me your ashes." That's the invitation on this Ash Wednesday. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. That's our life apart from God. But God says, "Now bring me your brokenness and your shattered lives and your guilt and the things that you cannot fix, over which you are powerless. You bring them to me in this season, and I will make something happen in your life." This last weekend, I went to an event at a church, and it was a kind of a graduation ceremony for people who are part of the Santa Barbara Rescue Mission. They have this wonderful program. It takes a whole year to go through it of recovery and working through the 12 steps. And it's for people who are at the end of their rope and for the most part, people that can't afford to go to any place. And so they need to be given a gift. They sometimes say, "We're the last house on the block." When people end up here, they know this is it. They're at the end of their rope. But of course, Dallas Willard used to say, "God's address is at the end of your rope." So I'm at this gathering. They held it at a church, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people there, family members, parents, people who volunteered in the program, a lot of people who had graduated from the program themselves. They've had now over 1,000 people that have graduated. And they start by playing Pomp and Circumstances. And these people walk down the aisle, and some of them are relatively young, and some of them are pretty grizzled, and they're kind of dressed up. And the people who are there, there's just this sense of raucous celebration and unbelievable joy. And person after person after person stands up and says, "I want to thank," and then they name the people and the Fellowship of the Withered Hand that they're a part of, and "I want to thank God." There was a woman there who spoke for some time. She told the story of her life, substance abuse in her family. By the time she was 12 years old, she was cutting herself. She was deeply suicidal, and she had already begun to drink and use, and then a series of abusive relationships. She was weeping so hard she could not get the words out. Talked about how over time she gave birth to 4 children, and all of them were taken away from her. because of the grip that addiction had on her. She said at one point, the devil had a hold of me. And everybody in that room understood that was not a metaphor. And she talked about, two of my children have been taken from me, and I don't know if I will ever see them again. The other two were there with her on that event. And when she talked about finding God, having for the first time in her adult life a safe place where she could sleep and being delivered from the compulsive desire that was destroying her, God takes ashes and brings beauty out of them. There was a man who spoke there, and he talked about how it was actually over 10 years ago that he got into AA and became sober and had 4 years of sobriety. But he said, I never really could come to grips with God, my higher power. I thought I had done it through my innate awesomeness. And everybody in the room cracked up. And then he realized his innate awesomeness was not adequate to the job. And hit bottom much, much lower, and has found God. His man is now walking with Jesus in the last house on the block. Innate awesomeness is not going to do it. And in the ashes of that life, he found God, and again, raucous celebration. So on this day, on this Ash Wednesday, the invitation for you is to bring the ashes of your life, instead of ignoring them or pretending they're not there, the guilt, the failure, the disappointments, to God. This image of ashes is used all through Scripture as a picture of our mortality, of our finitude, of the inadequacy of our innate awesomeness, and the invitation of God, you bring them to me. And there's kind of a pattern we see in the book of Job. When he is afflicted, when he goes through enormous loss, he ends up in Job chapter 2, verse 8, sitting on an ash heap. He scrapes these painful sores on his body, sitting on an ash heap, and that's what his life has become, just a pile of ashes. And then he says to his friends in chapter 13, who bring him this kind of self-righteous, false appearance of spiritual wisdom, your maxim had become to me proverbs of ashes, just useless words. And then by the end of the book, he is given a vision of God and the project that God is up to in this great universe of his, where from the moment of creation, the morning stars sang for joy, God's gratuitous goodness and generosity. And when Job finally sees God, doesn't just hear about it, he says, my ears had heard about you, but now I have seen you. I repent in dust and ashes. And so that ash heap, the place that had been the wreckage of his life, becomes the place where his life begins again, becomes the place of resurrection, becomes the story of where his God start, where his life with God will start anew. The last house on the block, you know, becomes the place where he came home to his father. And that's the invitation today, on the beginning of this Lenten season, on Ash Wednesday. I was thinking about how the 12 steps themselves are a kind of Lenten way of life. Traditionally, in this season that begins today on Ash Wednesday, people will engage in, historically, primarily three particular practices over these next weeks. And one of them is to fast. And so you might think about doing that today or in some area of your life. I will be doing that. And of course, in the 12 steps, that fasting is from or whatever the substance or behavior is that has gained control of my life, alcohol or whatever it might be. And then a second practice typically during this season is to give alms was the old language for it. And that's step 12 in the 12 steps. Having received a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carried the message to others. We lived lives of usefulness and service and generosity. So you might think about, how could I give today? What could I give to somebody else? How could I be useful? And then, of course, the third step is prayer. The third practice is prayer. And that's step 11, sought to improve our conscious contact with God through prayer and meditation. You might think about, what would you like that to look like today on this day and through this season? In the early church, one of the images that was used for a life of following Jesus was an ancient myth. It was a pagan myth, but it got kind of baptized. And it was the image of a phoenix. The phoenix was this glorious golden bird who had quite a long life, but then would come to die. It would actually die to itself, would bring about its death on a funeral pyre, but then out of the ashes it would rise again. The last house on the block. Offer its ashes, and out of the ashes comes new life. That's the way it is with God. Earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But we bring our ashes to God, and out of them, God brings a new life. I was thinking about that this last week. A door that had been closed, something that I had been a part of for a long, long time, and it was just a painful reminder, nope, that door is closed. And of course, a big chunk of that is my own. What I have done, what I have chosen, courses that I have taken. But then other doors open on that pile of ashes to God in a new sense of dependence and meaningfulness and ability to connect with other people on the grounds of pain and inadequacy and my need and the need of our world, the spiritual desperate need of our nation, our families. There's God, the last house on the block. So let go of your innate awesomeness. You graduate from some grand university. They might celebrate that. If you're at the Oscar ceremony, they might get all dressed up and celebrate your innate awesomeness. Not in the fellowship of the withered hand. Here we meet God. And out of the ashes, through his power, we rise again. Keep coming back. It works when you work it.